podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome back to a very special edition of the TAT Pod because, of course, we have won our first trophy of the season. And I say first because it's not going to be the last, spoiler alert. Me, Mike and Paddy, and hopefully at some point, Shigs are just going to be here tonight to just chat about the game, you know, what it means in terms of going forward for the rest of the season, star performers, the young bucks coming in clutch, all those kind of things. So, yeah, I'll probably be doing this for around an hour or so. So grab your snacks, grab your treats, your beers, whatever you're on tonight. And get involved. Get involved if you're on Twitter, in the comments. If you're on YouTube, smash the like button and drop your comments. And we'll try and cover as many topics as possible. But Mike, first of all, my friend, how are you?
I am really tired. I think, as we all, today was a rough day to work, but we're all here. We all made it through. Ecstatic, mate. Absolutely ecstatic. Trying not to think about the lineup that's going to be put out on Wednesday somehow. But other than that, I'm ecstatic, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. And Paddy, of course, we spoke about this team quite a bit over the last few weeks. And I think you've been on a couple as well with us. So for you, mate, how was that yesterday?
Oh, yeah, the ale went down very well. Solid 10-hour shift, as you do. But yeah, listen. Regardless of whether you're there, whether you watch on telly, anywhere in the world, there's no better feeling than seeing Liverpool win trophies. And yeah, people will say, oh, I don't know the Carabao, but, you know, a lot of people would give a lot of money to be in our position. You know, we're made for winning trophies. And as you said, it's probably not going to be the last this season. I can just do without the hangovers in May, if that's at all possible. But yeah, boss day, just excellent all around, really.
Yeah, of course, and it's exactly like you said. Klopp even said it after the game that people might turn around and say, I don't know the Carabao Cup, but their team would love to be in that position and be in that final. So let's just enjoy it, ignore whatever anyone else has to say, and just be glad and be blessed that we're winning trophies once again. Before we go further, guys, make sure you do check out our channel sponsor, our podcast sponsor, yourfootcard.com. Use TAT Pod at checkout. You get 15% off. These guys make some absolutely incredible products. They're actually going to be sending me a few of their newer ones that I can show you guys on the stream, which is going to be amazing. But check them out. Use TAT Pod at checkout for 15% off. We've got some comments in here. Ethan says, still buzzing after yesterday. 100%, mate. I think that's the way everyone's felt today. Alessi Sam, by the way, he made this absolutely stunning thumbnail for us. So thank you very much, Sam. Absolutely incredible graphics designer. Says Jürgen's cheeky 15-year-old Reds. The boys had a blast at Wembley yesterday. Very jealous of you, Luke. And even says, I felt bad for Curtis getting shoved in and pushed after by Dobby Darwin. We'll get on to that. A few players certainly seem to look like they're ready to come back into action now. And just before we move further, we have a wild Shigs appearing out of nowhere. So Shigsy boy, how are you, mate?
I am very well, thank you. Monday was a very nice day for once. So, yeah. Good day, man.
Yeah, too
right.
Where
did you watch it, Shigs?
Say again?
Where did you watch the game?
I was on daddy duty, so I was at home with my daughter trying to keep as calm as possible, but it was difficult.
Yeah, I can imagine. Man.
Woke her up when Van Dijk scored the winner.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. You didn't keep yourself composed.
The composure was out the window, mate. It was out the window.
It's impossible not to. And it's one of them things where, like, you can try and prepare yourself and brace yourself to not make any noise, but you just can't when the time comes. But
all right, mate. She had a purple jersey on, though, so it's all good.
There you go.
This was the lineup, and Mike, I think we did the preview show the day before the final and we spoke on this, and this is pretty much the only lineup we could have expected, to be honest. And there was a lot of people, there was a lot of downhearted people, but from what I remember, mate, I think we did, you know, we weren't overly confident, but we did both predict Liverpool to win, and we did also say that, you know, these guys have a huge opportunity, didn't we? So First of all, the team news, what did you make of that? Obviously, not really much to say, but just your overall general thoughts, mate, on how the boys got on, especially in like the sort of first half we'll touch on for now.
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, if we're focusing on sort of like the initial reaction to the lineup and how they got started, I think we all knew that was the 11, roughly anyway. I think there was some of us holding out, maybe Salah or Nunes appeared on the bench. When they didn't, there was a little bit of nerves. I was in a space, I could hear the nerves. But I think for the most part, everyone was still backing the boys, which is what you want. A couple of lads, I think fans were nervous about, that just turned up. We could talk absolute, you know, words around the lad, but Kelleher was just brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And there are a couple of people, myself included, that at times have gone, I'm not sure, naturally, because we used to have an Alisson who is one of the best we've ever had. But Kelleher, this is his competition. My God, absolute fantastic performance, dominant. And the best thing I can say is if I watched that game as a neutral, you can't tell that's a backup keeper. You can't tell that's a backup keeper at all. He didn't play like a backup keeper. It's like Klopp said, you know, we've got the best backup keeper on the planet. You know, he's world class in Klopp's eyes, you know. First off, I thought it was, we got off to a good start. I think when Gravenberch went off injured, our momentum was sucked out of us. I think you could see the knock-on effect of that when we were trying to readjust. Bradley moving the right wing, Elliot back into midfield. We kind of lost a little bit of the balance, a little bit of momentum. Built it up near the back end of the half, but I think a couple of Kelleher heroics, Endo and McAllister, bopping it in midfield, really kept us going in that first half. And Elliot driving on from midfield as well. I thought Elliot was, you know, quietly brilliant throughout the game. I thought he had some really, really solid moments. But yeah, I got to half time and I was needed about four cups of tea. But yeah.
Yeah, Paddy, first half, I mean, I thought we started off really well, sort of first 20, 25 minutes. It wasn't really until the injury where we even noticed Chelsea were in the game or we could even hear their fans or anything like that. But that was sort of, for me, not a turning point as such, because Chelsea weren't amazing after that. But up until that moment, mate, you could see the confidence that we were playing with. And like I said, that seemed to be a sort of point where Chelsea sort of got their momentum and started playing a bit, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we certainly settled the quicker of the two teams. You could see for some reason Chelsea looked dead nervous. And I think it was because, you know, there's a certain level of expectation on them going into the game because of, you know, who we didn't have available and who we did. But as you say, the Gravenberch injury sort of did sway the tide, if you like. I think it's a combination of Liverpool trying to, you know, mitigate, you know, some less than ideal circumstances and Chelsea then realising, oh, hang on, you know, we're playing Liverpool's essentially second string team. You know, you've still got the Van Dijks and all that in there. But we did start well. And as it did a couple of years ago, VAR bails us out a little bit, even though it was actually a really good decision by the linesman anyway, because he put his flag up. To be honest, it got to our time and Carragher said it on commentary multiple times, you know, Liverpool are hanging on. And we were hanging on to a certain degree towards the end of the first half. And as Mike said, Keller turns up and played probably his best game in a Liverpool shirt for me. I mean, the save off Cole Palmer's ridiculous, to be honest. He's got no right to even, you know, be near it, let alone save the thing. So, you know, I was maybe one of them who wasn't overly sold on him this season. I think he's had a few suspect performances, Fulham at home, certainly. But he's hard done by because you're comparing him to who you compare him to. Listen, he was absolutely excellent yesterday and a big, big reason as to why we ended up winning the game.
Absolutely, 100%. Couldn't agree more. And I agree. I think we've mentioned a lot in the Europa League games and the Cup games where he's not looked convincing, but like you say, I 100% agree. That was by far his best performance in a Liverpool shirt. I feel like for him, where he's pulled the short straws, because unless Alisson gets injured, which does tend to happen at least once a season, he's not going to get that consistency. And I think now he is starting to play more. You have seen the improvements on him. So it's just one of them. He's not going to get it unless Alisson's either sold, which no one wants, or Alisson gets injured, which again, nobody wants. But Shiggs, what did you make of that first half? I mean, Paddy says that Chelsea got into it a little bit at the end of the half, and we saw that. Was you ever concerned about Chelsea? Because the lineup that we had out, sort of, I think everybody thought that lineup has to go and get the job done, because hindsight's a wonderful thing and the kids were amazing. But going into the game, they didn't appear to be too much on the bench. So going into half time, not scoring yet, was you ever concerned, or did you think, oh, we've still got this?
I thought Gakpo would score because he scored in every other round of the competition. So I thought he would score. I was how can I put this? With Diaz, I was hoping he would kind of step up as well. And to be honest with you, he did, even though he had a chance, I think it was a chance where he was nearly 1-on-1, but he ended up coming back. But I don't know why. I just felt confidence in the team, even though you were saying about Kelleher. I wasn't on Kelleher's back, because in any, especially as a goalkeeper, it's not one of those positions you just can come in and you're going to be instantly instantly, no pun intended, on the ball. Like, you're going to take a couple of games to come into your own. And even against Brentford, there was one save that he made, even though they scored, and I'm going back a bit, but the save that he made before Tony hit it in, it's like, you would expect Alisson to make that kind of save. So it's always been there. And I think as well, like, I think this is his competition. Even the year before last, when we won it, he ended up winning the pen. Scoring the winning pen and made a number of saves. But he was, even me, when Cole Palmer got that chance, I was like, oh my God. And I was like, he didn't score. Like, how did he save that? And then a couple other times as well. But no, first of all, he showed his mettle. He showed who he is. And you know who I was mostly impressed with? And I know, obviously, we're going to talk about the other youngsters as well. But Connor Bradley, man, I have to say this. Like, you know, Ben, I was not his biggest fan a couple of years ago. But I have to sing his praises, because to go from right back to potential wing forward and not look out of place, like, hats off to the guy, man. Hats off to the guy. Sorry, look, I was worried. To be honest with you, for some reason, I wasn't worried. I was nervous, obviously, because it's a cup final and anything can happen, but I wasn't scared. I had this quiet confidence about us, because I just felt we'd get a chance and we'd bury it. But I wasn't like, oh my God, like, what are these guys doing? Because obviously, like you said earlier, when Gravenberch came off, I was just like, oh my God, like, literally, we are down to the bare bones. So look, I just thought to myself, let's just get what we can and get a smash and grab. If it has to be a smash and grab, listen, it is what it is. We won't remember that in 10 years' time. We remember that we won it. So
exactly, cups. That's what cups are all about: winning it, getting the trophy, bringing it home, moving on to the next. And yeah, I completely agree with what you've just said. I think I was a bit nervous, you know, seeing that it was 0-0 and that we didn't really have too many options. I thought Luis Diaz, by the way, I tweeted this at the end of the game. So yeah, at the end of the 90 minutes, I don't have a bad word said about Luis Diaz, because
he ran his heart. It's
probably the most I've ever seen a forward run in any game ever. Yeah. The amount of ground he covered, and he played extra time as well. I wouldn't be surprised if Luis Diaz takes two games off after that. I really wouldn't. So fair play to him. But
just quickly, shout out Nunes jumping over the barrier, though.
Yeah. We'll get on to that. Let's talk about the disallowed goal then. I'm not entirely sure what minute, Mike. You might be able to recite it better than myself. I want to get your thoughts, because I've heard contrasting opinions on this. Some people say it's in the rule book, so you have to disallow it. Some people say, well, the rules are crap, so you need to change the rules. Where do you stand, Mike? Obviously, the corner comes in. Is it a corner, actually? No, it wasn't a corner. It's a free kick. Free kick comes in. Obviously, we all see Endo's offside. He comes back on. Let me make this perfectly clear. He does absolutely nothing. He just stands his ground.
He's
offside, though, bro. If he hadn't been offside, there's nothing they could have said.
All right. Okay. Go on, Mike.
In my opinion,
I'm going to watch it back now, actually.
Ben normally knows that I'm pretty, like, neutral when it comes to these officiating decisions. But for me, That's a ridiculous decision. He's onside. I'm sorry. He doesn't interfere. Hey, Shiggs, let me land. I've just took off.
We're going to disagree.
Off on the flight with me.
Yeah. Go, go.
So listen, for me, I'm about to say we had to argue what we made. 16 minutes in, Shiggs. We did well. but for me, Endo doesn't make enough of a movement, nor does Colwill for me to consider that interfering with play. If Colwill is bundled over or is clearly trying to chase Van Dijk, interfered with play. But for me, Colwill does a little movement, stops in front of Endo. Endo doesn't do much to get out of his way, admittedly, but Colwill doesn't do anything to get past him either. That's not interfering with play for me. It's not interfering in the moment. I've seen roles reverse on offensive set pieces for other teams. I'm not going to name them. In the Premier League, that are very high up in the league, that attack in the exact same manner we do, that have goals like that, fine, every single time. Because there's nothing wrong with it. I don't see anything wrong with it. It's not a negative because it shouldn't be an issue. It's a tactical position for these players. They're not interfering with the actual moment of the goal. So for me, that's onside. It should stand. And I was shocked that went to VAR. But the moment it went to VAR, you know what's going to happen. They're going to find every way to disallow a goal. And that's a whole different conversation. Go on, Shiggs.
Shiggs, you're itching to go, so we'll come to you and we'll save Paddy until after. Go on, Shiggs.
I can understand why they disallowed it. One, he's offside, so he's blocking them. If, like I said earlier, if he had been onside and that had happened, then they would have no cause to disallow it. Also, as well, he looks at the guy. He looks at him. If he has his back to him and Colwell runs around him, then they can't say nothing, but the fact that he's offside and he looks at the guy and even though he doesn't move, he's looking at he's not facing the goal, he's facing the player. So he's made it blatantly obviously that he's trying to block the guy. So those kind of things, and I know what you're saying, Mike, in terms of you've seen other teams do it, but you got to have a little bit of guile about you if you're going to do those kind of things. Make it look like you're looking at the goal, or even if you're side on, at least you're looking at the ball, and then you position your body to block the guy. But because he made it so obvious he's not even looking at the goal; he's looking at the player. So he's kind of made up their decision for them, in my opinion. Anyway,
I can see where you're coming from. I can't argue with that. Like he wasn't exactly covert about what he was doing. I can agree with that.
Paddy, where you at with it, mate?
Yeah, I sort of side on the referee, and I hate myself for saying it. And obviously, if we'd have lost the game on the back of that, I'd have been absolutely fuming.
Yeah.
The thing that kills him is he looks at the player. And what I don't agree necessarily with is the terminology of it is, I believe Mike Dean said it's a subjective offside.
Yeah,
that was a whole other kind of way.
Did you hear what Carragher said to him when he goes, see, when he does it to the ref, when he does it to the goalkeeper, is that not okay? He goes, that's different. He goes, thanks, Mike.
It's one of them where
considered subjective. What are we doing?
It is offside, unfortunately, because he does look, and regardless of whether he makes a move or anything, he does slightly make a move. It's not much. But at the end of the day, they're guessing at that point whether Colwell's going to get anywhere near the ball anyway. And I can almost guarantee we won't see a goal disallowed for that reason again this season. I'd be shocked if we did. It doesn't matter, but it just opens up a whole other can of worms, really.
Let me ask you this: if Endo hadn't been offside, do you think that they would have allowed a goal? For me, I think it's because he was offside when the ball was played that
that's why it got disallowed.
If he had been in line and just stood there, I don't think that goal gets disallowed.
He's not offside then.
I think Shiggs is on about the contact between Endo and the players.
Yeah.
You're saying would that have been a foul? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's not a foul. He's just offside. That's it.
But yeah, I don't know. Listen, it is what it is. I'm not going to spend this hour with you lot talking about VAR because Shaft VAR, I don't like it. We move on.
Yeah, of course. And obviously after that decision, and I was struggling to find out what they were actually looking at, to be honest, for quite a while of it. But I just remember the same thing happened a couple of years back at Wembley as well. We scored a goal, which I felt we were hard done by, and they disallowed it as well. But again, it seemed like after that, Chelsea sort of saw that as an opportunity. Okay, they've not got the goal. Their fans, again, they didn't really offer much at all in comparison to ours for the whole game. But for a little bit, they were up for it. And yeah, had a few chances. Obviously, Keller makes a few mad saves. They hit the post. Was you ever wondering, Mike, has this team taken as far in this final? Because obviously, if we skip over to like the 85th minute or so, maybe a bit before actually, Klopp brings on all the kids. Actually, I think it was way before the 85th minute.
It brings
on all the kids. And then, so at that point, mate, when you're seeing a team mixed of, first of all, players that wouldn't have started had everyone been fit in the first place, and then to say we had all the kids coming on as well. Did you ever start to think, okay, maybe this is drifting away now? Or was yours, you know what? Nah, we're going to win it.
I didn't think it was drifting away, but Carragher said something today, which I thought was very poignant, which was, I think it's 8 out of 10 times that game gets played in the same manner with the same players in the same moments. We lose that game. Now, that's not because we didn't perform on the day, but that's just because that game shouldn't have gone the way it did in a way. Like, it was an anomaly in a beautiful way, in a wonderfully poetic way. You know, you set that scene for any team with the amount of players missing, with the injuries, with the tactical changes you had to make, the personnel, the age of the personnel, the lack of experience of the personnel. It just doesn't make sense. But in the moment, I wasn't nervous in the first half. I was a bit tense. Half time, the nerves kicked in. I think when the young lads came on, I've got a friend of mine, Sean, who I always watch football with him, always text back and forth when the game's on. The moment those subs were made, Sean said, I'm tempted to turn this off at this point. I'm terrified. I was like, fair enough. Wow. I can understand where the nerves come from. But I think there was just something about this season so far. You see McConnell, you see Clark, and we've already seen them, and we know they're good, which I know sounds bizarre because of their age, but you knew they could do something. Didn't think they'd perform as well as they did because I thought the stage is just, you know, so large, but they came on and they performed exceptionally well with a lot of maturity for their age. Chelsea allowed us to play. That can't be unmentioned. Like, the tactical decisions they made, especially in extra time, were bizarre. Worked in our favour. But it's one thing for it to work in your favour. It's another thing to take advantage of that favour. And all the young lads did. I was really, really impressed with all of them. But yeah, can't pretend that between the 75th minute and the full-time whistle of the 90, I wasn't on the edge of my seat jittering like that. It was very nerve-wracking. But once extra time hit that, it cooled off a little bit.
Absolutely. And Shig's just coming to you, mate. Just when it was obviously being out, played out in front of us, and obviously hindsight's a wonderful thing, and we can look back and say how kids did. Where did you think this game was going to be won or lost? Because like I said, Gallagher hit the post. Keller was making mad saves. Yeah. It hasn't been too many chances at this moment. But was you always sort of in that camp of all we need is that one chance? So as soon as that chance comes, we just got to take it.
You know what it was? I was just of the mindset, we just need to get a free kick or a corner and we'll score. And I'm not even kidding you. Because up until maybe it's the third or fourth time we had a free kick or a corner, the corners were poor. And then I think it was Robert that started whipping them in. And it's just like every time he was getting like a free kick or a corner, but they couldn't handle Van Dijk. So when they brought on Bobby Clark and McConnell and stuff like that, I'm not going to lie, I was thinking, is this going to be where it's going to be a stretch too far? And then I can't remember where it was in the pitch, but Bobby Clark done something. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I started to get a little bit more confident because when they were on the ball, like, they didn't eat, like you said earlier, even though they're academy players, they weren't playing like academy players. They were playing like a season. Like, there was the triangle that they did. I was like, oh, yeah, these boys can play. So after Kelleher made those four saves and it went to, I was like, let's just get to extra time. Let's get to extra time. Like, obviously, if Chelsea score now, we're not going to get back from it, but let's just get to extra time. And then as soon as extra time started, it's like I don't even know what Chelsea were thinking, but you would have thought that they were the naive team and we were the bad team that had all our players bad, because McConnell was knocking the ball about, Clark was knocking the ball about, Elliot was getting on the ball, and we were bossing the game. And it was just like, these guys have not let the emotion of the stage of the game. Also, as well, I got the fans, man. I swear, like, you could hear the way that they were bellowing out like we was at Anfield. Like, that alone as well must have given the guys confidence as well. Like, yeah, like, this is home, Anfield South. So, yeah, once the extra time started and I saw how we were playing, I was scared that it might go to extra time. I mean, go to penalties, but I wasn't scared that we were losing that period. I don't know why. I just didn't.
Yeah, and we'll come to you, Paddy. There is no Jadon Dans on this website, so you're going to have to bear with us if you are watching this on YouTube. He's not been added into the system yet, and I think that just sums up the sort of an experience that we're talking about here when, you know, we're looking at this team. But this was the team we had out in... let me just move you up, actually. Sorry, should we swap you over? This is the team that we went into extra time with, mate. Where's your head at when you see Chelsea, the billionaire bottle jobs, as Gary Neville quoted? They've got all these players, and let's not get it twisted. They're not amazing players like Mudryk and all of them, not that they managed to bring on, but they are players that cost from anywhere from 50 to 100 million against a bunch of kids who haven't really ever played for Liverpool and such. So, yeah, when you see this team going into extra time, mate, against Chelsea, where you at with that?
It was just one of them. It's a free hit at that point, isn't it? I mean, if you end up winning it, great, obviously. But if you end up losing it, as long as they put the shift in and you know, work for the badge and all that, you couldn't be prouder of them. And they did themselves justice in the end. I think the point about the fans is, listen, I watched it in a pub in town, and you know, with the noise going on around you, you can't usually hear the telly. But that came through the speaker system. I just thought, wow, like, you know, Wembley's a hard ground to get the whole singing in time, same song, and all that. It was just emotional. You know, it was more of a message of, listen, we're here, we believe, because listen, I said to my mum before, and it hasn't always been the case at Liverpool, and I imagine, you know, it still isn't the case in a lot of places, but what Klopp has done with the under-18s and the 23s, having them all play the same system, having them all play the same football, it means when they are called upon, regardless of, you know, the big stage that it was, they can slot in and they know the jobs, they know the roles. Bobby Clark was excellent. James McConnell was absolutely superb. There was a tactical foul he made in extra time. It takes a booking. You don't usually see that from kids. I said to him, mate, listen, they've got to take some responsibility here. They're no longer the, oh yeah, you might get them in at the end of the game. You've got to win a cup for Liverpool. So someone's got to take a bit of responsibility. And honestly, so proud of them. Even the senior lads, like Endo was knackered towards the end of the game. And he was absolutely unbelievable. To a man, they were superb. And you know, we got our just rewards at the end of extra time with one of the best moments I've ever had supporting Liverpool. That literally the moments we live for as fans. It was superb. Everyone was absolutely brilliant.
100%. I said the same thing as you when it went to extra time. I just remember tweeting, regardless of what happens from this point, like, you know, all I can feel from this team is pride and proudness and just the way that they all played. And yeah, I've never seen anything like that, to be honest. Just such a united squad. And I remember, Mike, going back to the summer, you know, there was a lot of tough streams to do, you know, big personalities leaving the club, and we were all sat here thinking, okay, we've still got leaders, but you know, experiences left, and you know, we've lost some big characters, regardless of what your opinion was on Henderson and Fabinho in the last season. We missed some big characters going out in the summer. And the way that this team has just sort of you know, put that to one side and instantly come back competing on all fronts yet again with new midfielders, new players everywhere you look. And then obviously the bombshell news that Klopp's going to be leaving, all of these factors, including the injuries, it just all adds up. And when you win a trophy like that, it's just, this is why when people are saying it's only the Carabao Cup, to you, it might only be the Carabao Cup. But when you've been through this flipping roller coaster we've had over the last 12 months, that's why it just felt so special yesterday, didn't it?
Yeah, no, like you're 100%. And also, I think Klopp, I'm going to paraphrase here. I'm sure you guys know, you might know the quote better, but Klopp said something along the lines of, I know some people would be like, oh, it's just a Carabao Cup, but you still wish you could be here. And it's facts. Like, it is the truth. You know, anyone that tries to diminish the trophy, even some of our own fans at the start of the season, where even done it with the FA Cup as well, like, oh, just get out of that early so we can focus on the bigger things. But you want to win everything you're in. You want to win everything you're in. Like, the FA Cup, it'll take its toll come the end of the year. I'm sure it will. But the next game's the most important game, you know, and that's how this club is operated under Klopp from minute one. It's never been, let's look at this game 3 weeks away. It's always the next game's the most important, for better or worse. And yeah, it was just Paddy touched on it. It was just a very emotional game, especially that last 40, last 10, the 90, the half an hour, and then celebrations after. It was just very emotional, for all the right reasons, you know. But yeah, it's been a tumultuous last sort of 12 months as a Liverpool fan, considering where we were 12 months ago to now. So to see where the team's at, to see the new leaders that have stepped up, and you can see leadership in the, even like glimpses of leadership in the young lads. Bradley really looks like a leader in the making, in a way. You know, whoever it is for, whether it's for Liverpool or whatever, there's a leader within that lad, the way he plays football. You know, you can see it in the others as well. So it's just, it's just great for every silver lining, you know what I mean? All the injuries we've had, but we've been able to see without the injuries, or thanks to not having all those transfers maybe some of us wanted in the summer, we've been able to have the room to allow Bradley, Kwanzaa, McConnell, Clark, Kelleher all to come back in and blossom. So there's a lot of pride in the way we've trusted our academy. There's a lot of pride in that, and sets us up in good stead, because those lads are very young, very, very young. We still have Stefan Bajcetic to come back in. You think Tyler Morton, Fabio Carvalho. We've got too many that are extremely talented of a young age. Like, it's exciting.
Mm-hmm. And Shig, just on that point there, I did a tweet the other day, and of course, from the people who speak about John Henry every single day and minute of their lives came for me. And the tweet was something like, you know, it's times like this where you have to trust from within. You know, you can't just deal with every situation with signing a player for 30, 40 million. This is the whole point of an academy. You get talented young players in, you train them up. Paddy said, they play with that system and the same sort of style from a very young age at Liverpool. So you, as a man who I've done countless streams with, you are quite supportive of FSG and the way they have done things, you know, compared to some people, at least. I think you've obviously criticised them when they've needed it, but you have, you know, seen their modelers for what it is. So this is exactly, isn't it? When you're in these crises, like we are right now, like we are in an injury crisis, you have to just back these youngsters. And yesterday, Klopp put every ounce of faith he had in every single one of them youngsters. And that is why they're at this club, to play in those moments, right?
Yeah, well, this, you know what it is as well? Like, I can't remember what game it was. There's an FA Cup game we played, where he played, I think it was McConnell and a couple of them, and they shone. And we didn't look out of place. And even the game against Luton, again, Dan comes on. I think McConnell, I don't know if McConnell played in that game, but they came on and they didn't look out of place. So you've got to give it to FSG. For as much stick as they get, people seem to, and I know obviously I'm not going to go overboard, but for whatever reason you may not like him, they employed Klopp. They saw what Klopp would bring to the club, and they employed him. And they've let him. Obviously, there's been times where we've wanted them to spend more money, but look, they've got us and put the club in a position whereby we are one of the most envied clubs in the world because of how we run, because of the way we do things, the camaraderie in the team, the way the team plays up from the beginning, from the youngsters up into the full team, how If what next man, one man goes down, next man up, no matter how old they are. Like, you don't, that this kind of mentality is not seen in every club. As it's not seen, it's not a regular occurrence. And for FSG to foster that in kind of culture, and it is them that fostered it, even though they brought in Klopp, they have made it so that they've put in the situation, they've put the ground, they've built access so that everybody's there. They've built up the stadium, they've put people in place in order for us to be able to make the best of what we have. And Klopp has just embodied, the players that came on just embodied the spirit that has been built at the training ground. That's as simple as that. Because if it doesn't, if everybody's not in unison, you don't get these kind of performances. You don't.
Mm.
You've seen it when before, when we've tried to play, when we back in the day, when we used to have youngsters and they weren't really up to it because we never had a uniform way of doing things throughout the club. Now that that's changed and that what's in place now, you see it throughout everything. And it's a joy to see. It's a joy to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And Paddy, no matter what happens with these youngsters, I mean, it would be great if they stayed around, but no matter what happens now in their careers, they've played for this club, they've played in a final, they've got a medal. And out of all of them, if we just go one by one, maybe, which one for you was the standout? Or maybe there was a couple that you were most impressed with. Yeah, which ones did you think, you know what, they did really good yesterday?
I think James McConnell is the one for me. He come on in a really awkward position because I read up on him a little bit before and he was more of an attack-minded midfielder. Probably last season or so, but they trained him in the six role when Fabinho and Henderson left. And yeah, there was a piece of play. He gets the ball to feet from Kelleher, and he's got two Chelsea players pinching him, and he just goes through them like they're not even there. You think, okay. Yeah, he looks like a serious player. He gets the assist for Curtis Jones against Norwich as well.
Mm-hmm.
He looks a solid bet to not necessarily make it. That's going to be a stretch, but he's got a big future, as does Bobby Clark. And we're forgetting, because he's been so good and because he's been in and around the first team, Gerald Kwanza comes on for pressure minutes in extra time, the last 15 minutes of the game where it can be won or can be lost, and again doesn't look out of place at all, and no one bats an eyelid when he's even starting games, Premier League games. Obviously you wouldn't play him in the big games, but when he starts, there's no questions, there's nothing. So as you said, it's just about backing the kids, and even at Wembley, even in pressure environments of extra time, they can deliver. And God, they delivered big time yesterday. If they were to do nothing else for Liverpool in their entire careers, they can say, I played a pivotal role in winning the club a major trophy. And that, regardless of future events, is a success for Liverpool's academy, because that's what, at the end of the day, they're trained to do. They're trained to, make these boys into men and win Liverpool silverware, and it worked fantastically well yesterday.
Can I just give an honorary shout out to Konate as well, bro? Like, I don't think enough has been. I know Van Dijk has got a lot of applauders, but Konate was also immense yesterday as well. Like, some of the blocking tackles he made, and just getting the ball back and stuff. Like, we've got another monster in the back in our defense as well, man. That guy, man. That guy.
Some of them was on the yellow card as well, and he was really risking it, and he was still doing it. It was crazy. Let's talk about the goal, and we'll talk about maybe a man of the match after that. But Mike, obviously we got a corner, the ball comes in, and Virgil heads it home. And this, for me, was just the most perfect way it could have happened, because one, he scored a goal that was disallowed, rightly or wrongly, whatever. But second of all, his first major final as Liverpool captain, it had to be him, right? That was almost like his, dare I say, Steven Gerrard moment. Like, you know what I mean? You've got that moment as Liverpool captain, yeah.
Yeah. If I could compare it to any Gerrard moment, it would have been Gerrard against West Ham, when he scored that absolutely ridiculous goal, in the final. But that was his kind of, the most similar moment for me. But, listen, at the end with all the Liverpool fans in the final minutes of the game. It's a picture-perfect scenario. You know, the oldest lad in the 11 at the time, the experienced head, the captain. This is Van Dijk at his very best. You know, that's what we've seen all season anyway, is Van Dijk at his very best. But yesterday was just... I think that's now four man of the matches in four finals as a centre-back. Mm. It's incredible. Like, it's absolutely incredible. And it's back-to-back man of the matches in League Cup finals for him as well. So for his, you know, first final as a captain of Liverpool to end in that way, it's very special. And hopefully, this is not his last one this year. I also thought it was, we might not touch on this later, so I thought I'd bring it up now, but I thought it was a really nice touch that he got Klopp to do the trophy lift with him. Mm. I thought that was like a really, really lovely touch. Just wanted to throw that in there. But yeah, it's just an incredible moment. The goal ruled out, getting that second one for him. It's a great header. It's a great ball by Tsimikas. It's a wonderful moment just before the corner's taken. He's got Danz with him in Kwanzaa. They're all grouped together in the box. And he says something to Danz. I don't know what he says. I'm not going to pretend to know what he says. But in front of them, you've got three Chelsea defenders. And he says something to Danz and Kwanzaa, and they get a lot closer. And when they get closer, they make that almost like wall. And the Chelsea defence are too tired. They're not taking notes. They make this wall in front of Van Dijk, which allows Van Dijk to then run off ahead of, and then, you know, up against Modric, he's always going to win. But it was, whether that was intentional or not, I really don't know. But if it was, absolute genius. Absolute genius in that mm-hmm. moment. Really subtle touch. But yeah, what a moment. And it's a moment that I'm sure we'll look back on fondly for many, many years.
Mm, absolutely. And Shiggs, for you, mate, you know, that was the goal ultimately that won the trophy. Mm. Apart from the goal and, you know, the moment that Virgil van Dijk had, just briefly, how do you think he's dealt with his first season as captain of this club? Like, he was the obvious choice, wasn't he, when Henderson left? Some people even argued it should have happened earlier. I kind of disagree with that, just because I don't think you can just go and strip the captain, you know, of his role. But for me, he was always like a captain just without an armband anyway. So a bit of fabric on his arm never really, to me, made too much of a difference. Do you disagree with that?
I'm going to go against the consensus. I there was a few times when I know obviously he was coming back from injury, but there was a few times where in a few games I was just like, oh, this guy's our captain and he didn't show that. There was a couple of games, but yesterday, imperious. That is as an epitome of a captain's performance, leading by example. Like, there's no one that could ever, like, and like you said, I don't think it was Mike, you said it, in terms of four games in the finals and four man of the match performances. Like, it's not, that's not a fluke. That's not something that's just, oh, okay, yeah, well, it's a flash in the pan. It's that he was imperious yesterday. And it just, like you said earlier, when the goal was disallowed, lesser people would have shrunk. But again, this is why I said I was so confident when we'd have a free kick or corner, because they couldn't handle him. They physically couldn't handle him. And in the last couple of games, you've seen him be more and more aggressive when it comes to corners. Like against Luton, obviously, he gets the equaliser. And a couple other games as well, gets a goal against Sheffield, first goal against Sheffield United. So it's steadily been coming and becoming more and more of a recurring theme with him getting goals from free kicks or corners. And long may it continue. But like I said, it was just fitting that he was the one that had led by an example all game, and then ended up getting the winner, which is a lovely touch. Just couldn't have. He deserved the plaudits that he got. He deserved to get the winning goal. So yeah, he is now. I feel like now, even though he's been captain for all season, this has more so made him grow into the captain now. If does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So listen, more power to him, man. And like you said earlier, Mike, in terms of the touch that him and Klopp were the ones that raised the trophy, was a nice touch, man. Because yeah, we're not gonna have this guy for much longer, so I want him lifting as many trophies as possible. And I hope, well, I'm not gonna tempt fate, but I hope he gets to do that at the end of the season with another two or three trophies. But that's a conversation for another day.
Well, it's a conversation for now, actually, because that was going to be my one of my talking points to sort of wrap things up.
Yeah, and
to you, mate. Yeah. Look, we all know that the first, if you're competing on all fronts, getting the first trophy is critical. It's vital. You know, you get that trophy in. All the new players, like the new signings that hadn't won a trophy at club level before, now have that feeling. They've got it at Liverpool. They heard the fans. They saw the support. It's incredible. Do you think that this now puts us in like really good stead? I know we've got a lot of injuries still, we need players to come back, but where are you at in terms of what this could potentially mean for the rest of the season? Has your confidence gone up a level? Does it not mean as much? Like, where are you at with that?
Oh no, it definitely means something. You could tell in 2022 when we got the first one under the belt, it half spared us on, because the first half of 21-22 we actually weren't that great. We obviously were thereabouts, but we never really looked like challenging. The thing for me is we've got two games coming up this week. If you said to me we lose on Wednesday and win on Saturday, I'd probably take that, because listen, we're getting to the stage of the season where there's only 13 Premier League games left, 13, 12, something like that. It's creeping up, and if we can weather the injury storm, if you like, if we can somehow, you know, feel the team on Wednesday, get through that, all of a sudden.
Sorry, Paddy. The game on Wednesday, is that for the Prem or is that for the FA Cup?
FA Cup.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, go on. I wasn't sure. Go on.
So, you know, if you win on Wednesday, you're a game away from Wembley again. So that becomes an even bigger thing. Forest, you know, looking briefly to Forest. We'll have names back. Salah, I imagine, will be fine. Nunes and Szoboszlai. Judging off the antics when Van Dijk scored, I think we'll be okay. They might get minutes on Wednesday. It's just about grinding results out. Liverpool have been very, very good at that when it's counted for the past few years. The Europa League, I think, will at least be in the final. We should basically win it. We are, on paper, the best team in it by... I say by a distance, probably not by a distance, because Bayer Leverkusen are a really, really good football team. Yeah, the FA Cup's a free hit. It's been half kind with us for the draw on Wednesday. Southampton are probably in the same boat as us, maybe prioritising the league over a cup competition. But listen, if the kids start and the kids play well, there's every chance we win on Wednesday. So we could just... do with getting bodies back. If we didn't have so many injuries at the minute, I'd be like, yeah, go on, we'll win the lot.
Paddy, I'll tell you this.
Something's got to give at some point.
I'll tell you this, Paddy, though. If we beat Southampton on Wednesday, the Everton fixture gets pushed back. If we lose to Southampton, then we have to play the Everton fixture. So what I would say, because although I agree exactly with where you're coming from, by the way, because there is a fixture congestion here with a very thin squad at the moment, and it's quite tense. You know, we're one injury away. We were one injury away 2 injuries ago. You know what I mean? but like, thank you. That was a Mike McWilliam original. Listen, I think Southampton is a crucial game in the sense that, just like yesterday was, these lads, if they somehow win a final and then get put into a semi-final within 2 games, that's incredible. That is something that I think only adds more energy, more power in the battery pack, as it were. Listen, the Not Forest game, it's going to resolve itself in the right way or the wrong way. You know, the lads that played that you'd normally see in the starting 11 on Sunday will start Not Forest. Then you said about Szoboszlai and Nunes all coming back, and Salah all coming back as well. The Not Forest game suddenly looks like a good squad. So you give the lads minutes on Wednesday. The only game I'm really concerned about is the City game, because we play these three this week. We go away for the Europa League next Thursday with a 4-day break. And then on Sunday, following that Thursday, we've got City at home. That's my worry. Because I don't know what we look like as a squad. I don't know how we're going to rotate the squad in the next 3 games. Southampton at home, Forest away, Europa League away. Well, in order to have a fit and, you know, energized squad for the City game, currently it just doesn't seem possible for me. So that's my worry personally.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and like I said, even before the injuries, I said that we're in the race. I said we're in the race for a long time. I'm not saying we're favourites and we're going to win the league, but I was confident we'd be there or thereabouts. Obviously, the injuries have come, and there's a great point to be had there where we need players back, and the young kids, maybe they did well in the cup, but maybe it's not sustainable. However, I can't be anything but full of confidence after what I saw yesterday, and I know that's different to a Premier League and Europa League and the FA Cup. But we'll get bodies back. Bodies are close to coming back. Like you said, Paddy, the way we saw some of them guys celebrating yesterday was insane. And I think Klopp even said, if you asked Szoboszlai, he would have said yesterday that he was fit to play. So sounds like he's close. Sounds like Salah and Nunes, probably just that game yesterday came too soon. But yeah, I'm very pleased with how we've handled it. And when you look at what Chelsea have and what they did in the summer, and some Liverpool fans were almost envying of what they've done. And like, to me, I didn't get it at the time. I didn't quite understand it. You know, this team, this guy just coming and bought their club. They were spending 100 million on every signing they made. You know, they'd spent half a million and everyone's like, oh, they've done loads of business. And then they spent another half a billion. And when you look at the players we had, like Endo, we signed him because we didn't, let's be honest, we didn't get the other two we wanted. We wanted Lavia, we wanted Caicedo. And Liverpool fans, and maybe to some degree, it was not warranted towards Endo, but I could understand the disappointment that we didn't get the other two. But he's just gone and outperformed any signing that Chelsea have made this season every single time he stepped on the pitch. It was like, we have the £100 million midfielder yesterday, not them. So it's just players like that that come in that just give me that bit of confidence. They want to be here. They've got the hunger to be here. They've got the desire to win trophies. You know, yeah, I'm sure having 250 grand in your bank account when you probably don't deserve it is amazing. But, you know, there's more to football than that. That's not going to win you titles. And ultimately doing that and being around like that, it doesn't buy you success either. It can help, of course, if you do it the right way, if you've got the right people doing it. But what we have, it puts us in a far better shape to win trophies. And one by one, when these players come back, you know, Darwin, like I say, Szoboszlai, Salah, just those three alone makes the team just so much better, like incredibly better. Then we've got McAllister, who I've not even spoken about in this stream, who was, again, brilliant until he went off yesterday. We could have been on air for hours talking about performers yesterday and how good they were. But let's just finish off, guys. Let's everyone give back their man of the match and maybe a one that they want to possibly give it to but can't. I'm just going to say mine's Virgil van Dijk. Kelleher was brilliant. But I think Virgil van Dijk, for the goal he scored, the way he conducted the team, all the bits in between as well, you know, the huddles. I think he was really good in the extra time one before the game restarted again. But just the way he led us in that final, like you said, Sheik, he was just imperious. And he truly is the best centre-back on the planet. And he always was. He might have had a dip after an injury, which is absolutely fine. He actually came back that season and was at his best. It was last season where people were questioning him whether he could play at this the peak of his powers anymore. But obviously yesterday and this season he's shown he can. So Virgil van Dijk for me is my man of the match. Mike, who is yours? And if it's not Virgil van Dijk, or if it is there anyone else that maybe deserves a mention for you?
I will veer away from van Dijk just because I think we're all wanting to say him anyway. But I'd say my man of the match was Kelleher, and then my silent shout out, as if you want to call it, would be Konate. So I thought Konate, I know he got replaced by Kwanzaa purely for the fact that he had maybe a little bit of fitness, but there were some huge moments in that game. Konate was very composed and made them look like less huge moments. Namely, when Jackson went through on goal, specifically. That was phenomenal defending. And Kelleher, I mean, listen, he pulled off a Dudek Istanbul-like save in the first half with his arm. Like, it was absolutely ridiculous save. And obviously a couple of huge key moments. There was one moment where the ball just sort of hit him and landed in his hands, and that's I think that maybe was when he knew it was his day, where he just hit his foot and then went straight up to both of his hands. It was ridiculous. But yeah, just those two for me. Shiggs?
Yeah, Shiggs.
Mine, Konate again, honourable shout out, but Endo, that guy, man, there was an incident, I don't even remember where, he gets the ball, does a 1-2 with someone, and Caicedo bounces off him. like bounces off him. Like,
I've seen that clip.
Yeah. Like for me, I said at the beginning of the season, I wasn't his biggest fan, but he was superb yesterday. Like always showing for the ball, shielding that back four, kept it flowing. Just tremendous. Him, yes, I'd give it to him. Endo would be my man of the match, and my honorary shout out would be to Diaz. Like that guy didn't stop running, didn't stop. Like I know he gets a lot of stick with people saying that he's not clinical and stuff like that, but that game, man, he showed so much heart for me. So he gets honorary shout out.
Paddy.
I'll go with my goalkeeper's union. Keller was superb. I mean, as I said before, the save from Palmer is ridiculous. Just this is overall play, in fairness, against Luton. He weren't great on the ball. I think he found a white shirt more than he did red. But, you know, big occasion. Bails us out a number of times. You can tell he trained with Alisson the way he comes out. And the save from Gallagher in the second half, it's very Alisson-esque, the way he smothers it. Just superb. Again, probably the second best second choice keeper we've got in the league at minimum. And honorary shout out Endo. He was doing about four man's jobs at one point. He was superb. And yeah, he deserves a little 4-day break if he's not going to play on Wednesday, because Jesus Christ, I'd be knackered if I was him.
Absolutely, every single player that's been mentioned there, I 100% agree with. And I just want to finish the stream. We could, like I said, we could have gone on for hours, but time is just well and truly gone. A bit of news came out this evening that Liverpool could stage a Carabao Cup parade to honour Jurgen Klopp. The club discussing possibility of end of season event in City Centre, so supporters can thank the manager and say goodbye, even if we don't win any more trophies. What I mean.
That whole thing, I'll say that from now.
Yeah, exactly. But I was going to ask you, like, what, obviously, I know the answer to this, but what are your guys' thoughts on that? This is what the manager deserves, right? Even if we don't win another trophy in the Carabao Cup, is the only thing we have. Like, come on.
It won't be. I don't think it will be. But listen, fully deserved.
We're all of the same consensus, I think. You're saying goodbye to the god of the city, really, at the end of the year, aren't you? I think Liverpool will be packed out no matter what.
Yeah.
We'll all be there. Get a
lap, but screw it. We'll do our thing. We'll enjoy our days.
Listen, I said to my mates earlier, Paddy, even if we win more trophies or even if we don't win trophies, I would love nothing more than them to get out every single trophy he's won, line them all up on the bus and parade them. Can you imagine the meltdown? Oh, they didn't win all them trophies this season. They're not allowed to parade them.
I'm not bothered. I don't care. Yeah. we'll enjoy our day. We'll enjoy our moment. We don't care what people think.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Exactly. Yeah. I'd say get them all out. Every single thing is won. Get them all out.
Bring all the players back as well. All the ones that used to play for him. Like, I want to see.
Get Ginny.
Get Ginny on the bus. Get give up back.
Kabak, Ozan Kabak.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see, man. Nat Phillips.
Big Conor Randall out from wherever he is.
Yeah.
Long as Naby's there, I'm there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mate, Joe Armstrong on the way off the bus.
Yeah.
You guys, that's going to be it for now. Obviously, like I said, the hour has just gone. But please make sure you smash the like button if you're watching on YouTube. Subscribe if you haven't already. And we'll probably be live Wednesday night or Thursday night to discuss the Southampton game. And yeah, listen, we've won a trophy. It won't be the last this season. Keep enjoying it, because like I said, these days, you know, you don't know how often they're going to come around, and it's Klopp's last season. So keep on enjoying it. Keep on looking at all the content, and we'll see you guys next time. Take care,
people.
Sports Social Podcast Network.